I'd like to introduce the first speaker, Scott N. from the Simple Solution Group of NA in the Laurel Mountain Highlands area of Narcotics Anonymous.
Love you, man.
Thank you, man.
I'm an addict. My name is Scott. So I guess I'm going first. I lost the coin toss, so I'm not sure. First of all, I just want to thank the committee for putting faith in the message of Narcotics Anonymous and asking me to share the life-saving message. When I was asked, I had a Pittsburgh home group and Sunday mornings in Brookline, and my work schedule changed. There's a lot of different environmental factors that it talks about in this IP, and I started to sponsor myself and started talking to some men in my life about like getting plugged back in, and ended up taking a home group in this area, in the Laurel Mountain Highlands area, which is why I have a home group within the area. Typically we don't ask area home group members to share. So I was trying to use that as a loophole to get out of this, and it didn't work. So here I am. But the topic that I was given when it was given to me was self-acceptance, and I kind of chuckled a little bit because, first of all, it's my favorite IP, and through the person who asked me to speak, I mean, we know each other on an intimate level, and he knows like where I'm at with a lot of things and in my process and how things have gone along. But if you knew what went on in my head on a daily basis, self-acceptance wouldn't be anywhere on my radar. I'm an addict, so I suffer from low self-esteem and low self-worth. But through the process of staying clean for a while, I've had the ability to learn about myself and to accept things about myself. And the one thing, it's like in the first couple lines of this IP, it talks about like this subtle defect. And I have to chuckle at that because this isn't subtle at all for me. Like the inability to accept myself for who I am is not subtle to me at all. It kept me away from my clean date for a long time, or I kept myself from it. But the reality of the situation is like without staying clean, there's no way I could accept myself for who I am, good and bad. And a little later on, I'm a safety officer for my work. That was like a pretty bad hazard right there. So the inability to accept myself like for who I am, assets and defects, was really a painful thing, man, because I would come into the rooms and I'd get a couple minutes clean, and the detox meds would wear off and the reality would hit me in the face, and I realized that, like our first step tells us, the drugs aren't the problem, I'm the problem. And when I go through this whole process and realize, like, I tend to focus on negativity in my life, especially when I'm first getting clean. So the other amazing part about this IP is that there's a subsection that talks about the steps. The steps are the solution. And through actually like getting a sponsor and working some steps, I understand that. But really the pivotal moment in my recovery, like I got clean in Pittsburgh and had the I was fortunate enough to run across some really solid people in early recovery, and I had a passion for Narcotics Anonymous. And with about 9 months clean, I got a good job with like 6 or 7 months clean. I got my license back. Like these things that happen when you stay clean. And I started to run on like self-will and ego for a while. And somewhere around 9 months clean, some of my past came back to haunt me. I ended up with 8 months house arrest and 2 months probation. After that, and I was forced to sit still on some things, and that's when I actually like dug into some step work and dug into the literature and started to understand, like long before I ever got to number 6, about some of the defects that I have that ran my life for a long time. And I just kind of coasted along for those first 6 or 7 months, and then after that, like this passion really turned into a fire in my soul where I wanted to get better and I wanted to change, because that's something I never did, and that's why I never stayed clean. And I've been told many times, like, if you don't change the addict that comes into this program, you will use again. And I did. And I didn't want to do, you know, I changed these environmental factors that this IP talks about. I changed locations. I moved to Australia. I got married. I did a lot of different things that had nothing to do with the internal problem that was the source of all my issues. And in this IP, it talks about this inner gnawing feeling that you have. And I had that for many years. Like, I always had it since I was a kid, and I felt different. But in 2006, it was actually, like, a couple days was the 10-year, if you want to call it an anniversary. But it was a 10-year mark since kind of a pivotal moment happened in my life where everything kind of focused on myself and somehow. And the girl I was married to was in a car accident and killed. After that point, drugs became a numbing factor, and I tried to use them to block everything out, and I ran on some really nasty defects, and I used to provide an absence of pain. And through doing that, I did a lot of things, including what led me to my sentence, my 32-month sentence, and all those things that, like, I knew that wasn't who I was. I knew that wasn't who I was intended to be, why I was put on this planet, what the universe had in store for me. Like, through staying clean and getting connected with some really important men in my life, I realized, like, I'm a very loving, caring individual. I'm quick to cry. It's a long road to anger for me. It's just who I am, man. And I didn't want to be that person for so long. I had so much anger built up in me because how could this happen to me, and how could all these other things happen to me? And thankfully, I found the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous after a few years of, like, trying to push it away. And staying clean for a little while in Pittsburgh and getting plugged in with these guys. And I had, like, a little over 2 years clean. And this pivotal moment in my recovery that really just dropped me to my knees and really, I think, gave me the full surrender that I needed to become part of this program happened with, like, a little over 2 years clean. This may sound trivial to some people. I know there's people in here that can certainly relate, but my dog died. And I got this dog before I got married. I had her for, like, 9.5 years. I had her for, like, 5, and my mom watched her for the last 4 because I was a terrible human being at that point due to my using. And she was with me through everything. She accepted me when I didn't want to accept myself. After my wife was killed, I went to church. I went to counseling. I went to counseling with a priest. None of that worked. Like, none of that provided any ease to my soul of the pain I was in. So I continued to do drugs. And the one thing that was, like, constant in my life, I was so bitter at that point, and the one thing that was constant in my life was this dog. She was a beacon of love. I would be angry, and I would be sad, and I would be upset, and I would be all these different emotions. And I'd come home from work, and she was kind of a puppy, and she'd be happy to see me, and she'd always come back, and we'd go play for hours. And within, like, 10 minutes, all that anger and bitterness and hatred turned into love and adoration for this one of God's creatures, one of the creatures of the universe. And I never really understood how pivotal that moment was in my life, because that is exactly what softened my heart to love again. Because I was shut off. I didn't want anything. I didn't want to hear shit from anybody. There's nothing you can tell me. There's nothing I can read. That you've never walked a mile in my shoes. I was very much in a self-depreciating situation. And so then I go through the journey of, like, getting clean, and my mom had the dog because, like I said, I couldn't hold my life together, and I burned every bridge because that's what I do when I use. And I went to a recovery house in Pittsburgh and started to bounce around with my job a little bit, and this dog was always there, but she was with my mom now. But anytime I would go home and visit, like, that was my dog. She was right by me. She slept, like, with her head on my feet. She followed me around. Like, we had this bond that I never really understood until I stayed clean for a while. And This IP talks about like understanding yourself on a deep emotional level, on a deeper level. And about a year and a half ago, I think it was in January, I don't remember the exact date, but I know it was extremely traumatic. Through a course of a series of events, I had to make the decision to put her to sleep. She was in more pain, and I couldn't be selfish and keep her around anymore. And it's the hardest day I've ever had clean. But I knew I was going to be all right. I had people reach out, and like one of my friends wanted to come in from Butler and take off work. And I knew like we started this journey together and alone. We're going to end this journey together and alone. And I took her around, and we had some ice cream, and she loved ice cream. And we did like all these things that she really liked to do. And then I took her, and they put her to sleep. And that love was gone. But I had had some people show up in my life that understood what I was going through and taught me how to love myself at that point, because everything up to that point was still external. I looked to this dog, and even in early recovery, I looked to other things to provide the love that I needed to accept myself. I looked at materialistic things. I looked at physical relationships, all these things to validate myself, when all it took was some step work and some inside work to like understand I'm a good person, I have a good heart, I just need to quit doing shitty stuff. But through that, I gained some self-acceptance. Like I'm more than a list of my defects. I am a list of assets as well. And, you know, I gained some self-acceptance, and the thing is, like, no one can take that from me when I get it. I understand I'm not perfect. I'm extremely far from perfect, but I love untethered, and that's the way I always wanted to be. But, you know, I grew up, like, in a household where, like, men don't cry, and you're not supposed to be vulnerable, and all those things, and it just wasn't, it's never who I was. I've always been an emotional person. I've always been somebody who is an empath. I can feel your pain, maybe not as deeply, but, like, I absorb the energies around me, and the self-acceptance that I received through the step work that it talks about in this IP is really where everything came together for me. But, you know, like that inner gnawing feeling it talks about, like I've had that in early recovery, and through that course of events with this dog, that's like the biggest example of self-acceptance in my life. Like I wanted to act out, and I didn't, and people kept reaching out, and understanding, like, through these relationships I built with people, that, you know, I need somebody to point out good things in me before I see them in myself. And quickly I look around, and I start to, like, change the values that I have in my life, and understand, like, the morals that were instilled in me by my grandparents and my parents, and start to live by this code. I'm quickly surrounded by a lot of people that are in this circle today, like people that I love and admire. And it was weird for me to understand, like, I was loved by these people. Like, I wouldn't say I held them on a pedestal, but they're people that I watched from a distance before I got clean and in early recovery, that, you know, it's one of those things, like, I want to be like them. I want to have what they have. And I started to, like, piece it together, and it's service work, it's step work. It's the program of Narcotics Anonymous. It's the steps and traditions that these people live by. They have a deeper understanding of the program. It's not just a social club for them, you know, and that's where I really dug my heels in and started to understand how deep this thing runs in my spirit, and how grateful I am for this program. I was talking to somebody about it last night. Like, I did so many different things to disqualify myself for this program, when in reality what I was doing is like perfect examples of what addicts do. I'm not like them. I didn't use like him. I didn't go to that part of the city, whatever, and it's just a perfect example of disease thinking. And through accepting the fact that I have this disease and understanding, like, that inner gnawing feeling is something we all feel, you know, that's where I was able to make some headway. But it's tough, man. Some days are better than others with self-acceptance. I have a real deep connection with a small group of people. I'm very guarded still, but it's one of those things, like, if you know me, you know I'd give you a kidney if you needed it. And that's because, like, the solution for everything I go through in Narcotics Anonymous is love. It's what I had a lack of when I got here, and I crave those hugs that made me uncomfortable at first. And through, like, sticking around and going through some things clean and staying clean and building character and understanding what type of person I am, there's been a lot of peace in that. I have a peace in my life right now that I've never experienced before. And, you know, people can be very judgmental of situations we go through and how we should handle them. And I'm guilty of it as well. I see somebody going through something and I kind of project on how that person should handle it. But the reality is, like, we just read in my home group out of the Living Clean book the other day, and it hit me really hard about, like, for me, there's a line between being controlling and loving and supportive. And the people that surrounded themselves, that surrounded me with them during hard times in my life are loving and supportive, and they're beacons of that love and hope. And that's what I try to be like. And understand that, like, I have no idea what you're going through at that point in time and how much a hug can mean to some people or a smile. That's why I picked the home group I did in Pittsburgh. They got a love line that's like 60 people long, deep some days, and some people hate it. But what I needed early on in recovery was, like, I had a flickering spirit, and you connect. Like Cheryl talked about last night, two hearts beating together, two souls. You got one flickering soul next to one. Somebody, maybe they got 7 days clean. Maybe they got 7 minutes clean. Maybe they got, I've seen people pick up 30-some years in that meeting. You never know when you need a hug around here. And I think it's just pretty amazing, man. Like, I know I'm the one who has to go to sleep at the end of the day with the sum total of my actions throughout that day. And the thing is, like, you can judge me all you want. Nobody will be harder on me than me. So through, like, staying connected with people that we have parallel values and people that will tell me, hey, you're kind of being an asshole, you're not an asshole, what's going on? Or will, you know, send me voicemails, me snoring, whatever, you know, things like that, whatever. Whatever it may be, people that point out to me when I'm acting out of character, that's what it's all about. That's the love that I get around here. And truly, like I said, I've never felt this level of acceptance before in my life with myself. I'll accept you on a, you know, on the drop of a dime. But at the same time, like, I'll be extremely hard on myself. And the only way I got there is through step work. That's why I love this IP. I'm an addict. My name is Scott. I'm going to keep coming back.
All right. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Sue B. from the Beechwood Group of NA in the East End area.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sue, and I'm an addict. How do I even touch that? My husband turned around and said, don't talk about dogs. But what I know here, when I want to make myself different, when I want to put myself aside from NA and pretend like I don't fit in here. Like, we all have the same stories. We really do. They might vary in, like, you know, subjects and whatnot, but when at the end of the day, like, I know this is where I belong. You are my people. We have the same stories, the same emotions, the same way we deal with things, and, like, a lot of my story is death and dogs, and you won the coin toss, really, because now there's a lot more people here, you know. But I have to tell you, my clean date is December 1st of 2001, so, like, yeah, I might have 14 plus years clean, but by no means does years equal recovery, and I've been at a stalemate for a lot of years now, like 7 plus years, and you know, it's no coincidence that I was asked to speak on self-acceptance, and because when I would get honest with myself, which is where I've been lately, is like really trying to be gut level honest with myself, my biggest struggle is self-acceptance. And I was thinking about it last night and this morning before Scott even started spoken. Whenever I want to talk about me and who I am, I take it to my two dogs. I have this one dog. I got her 6.5 years ago, and she healed my heart from some very painful things. And then I decided we just needed this other dog, and we got her like 9 months ago, and she has ripped my house apart and literally eaten my house. And like, that's who I am. Jekyll and Hyde, if you will. You know, there's like many sides. I want to say two sides, but there's not. There's so many sides of me. And we are so fortunate. We are the blessed. We are like those of us that stay clean and are able to get to know ourselves by working steps. And you know, I remember being a little kid, and I remember always thinking, there's just something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. You know, I'm in first grade, and I'm misbehaving, and I'm acting out, and all the other kids aren't doing this, but I just can't control myself. And like, next thing, they're putting me in closets, Catholic school, beating me with things, and like, why can't I just stop? Because I know that if I act like this, this is going to be the consequence. And it was like attention, you know. I've always been very attention seeking, and like, one thing that I've learned through education and through recovery is that, like, you know, negative attention is still attention nonetheless. And like, being reprimanded through my life up until like today, like, you know, if someone yells at me for something, you're still giving me attention. And sorry, I don't like wearing glasses, nor have I brushed my teeth yet, but that's okay. Nor have I showered, but I'm a nurse, so that's kind of natural. But I remember when I came here, like, I felt very broken. I felt very defective. I felt very ineffective in my life. But I started going to meetings when I was 16 years old, you know, like, and I even knew then that even though I had to go to these meetings because this paper told me that I had to go and these people are making me do it, I knew that I belonged with you people. And then after I was done with whatever it was that I needed to do, because when I was 16 years old and I went to meetings, of course I found parties there. Of course I found lovers there. And because you can find whatever you want here. And when I came back some years later, like 10 years later, trying to do the math. Math is really hard these days. I think I got clean when I was 27, 28. When I came then, I was pretty broken, like really broken. And I have to say, happy anniversary, 12th anniversary wedding to my husband, Justin, today. And there's a miracle right there, because if anyone can stay clean and be married for 12 years, it's the Benders, and that's a miracle in itself. And but marriage is like recovery, is what I'm realizing now. I can't do it without you guys at all. Marriage is tough. Living is tough. Being alone with myself is really fucking tough. What the hell's going on up here? And these are the beverages we are selling. But when I came here 14 plus years ago, it was to fix him, really. Really. Now, keep in mind, when I came here 14 years ago, I was also married, not to him. And, but I figured that if we fixed him, that maybe I could figure my life out. And what really happened is, after we took the drugs away, I realized I was way sicker than he was. And but then I finally, you know, started working with a sponsor and started working some steps. And honest to God, I always call it this. The steps are magic. They are seriously just magic to me. And I really learned out a whole bunch about myself. And one thing that I realized, that even though I learned all that stuff then, things have really changed since then. And this is just kind of where I am right now in my world. So, like, I remember working the 4-step, the 5th-step, the 6th and the 7th-step. And, you know, I feel very defective on most days. Like, and I accept that about myself, self-acceptance. I know that I'm a loner. I know that I'm attention-seeking still with being a loner. I don't know how this all works out, but it works out. And I know that when I'm alone, I become very sick in my head. And it's a slow brew. It's like a crock pot, you know, like turn it on and it just stews. And we're in my recovery, or lack of recovery, for these past few years. Like, I suffer with certain things. Like, one, I'll be pretty active in a home group, but not active with the sponsor. And right now I'm pretty active with the sponsor, but not so much with a home group. And like, when they had to ask what a home group was, like, Danny said, well, you're still on the books at, you know, Beachwood, but I haven't been active there in a long time. I like to say that my home group is Laffy Hollow. That's my sponsor's backyard. But I know it's not cutting it. And the reality is, through being clean, working steps, I was able to go back to school. And thank God I became a nurse after I got clean. I never would have been able to before I got clean. I went to CCAC when I was a kid, and I remember sitting there all wasted in the corner, seeing the little nurses walking past and just jealous. I've always been jealous of your life, you know, because you just had things going on that I just couldn't do. And so when I was in college back then, I don't even know what the hell I was taking, math classes, basic math, and I just remember at that point making the decision, like, Grateful Dead tour just looks so much more appealing than college did, and that's what I did. And so now that I'm a nurse, through the grace of a higher power, like, these past 3.5 years, I've really identified myself as just being a nurse. And that's not a good place either. It has, like, really... And I know, is there any nurses sitting around here? Like, your first few years of being a nurse, like, you eat, breathe, and shit being a nurse. You know, you work crazy schedules and night shifts. And I had to adjust to that being 43 years old. But and now that that's all calming down, like, I can't go on like that. It's, like, making my life unmanageable. And I had a talk with my boss just recently that I can't do these night shifts anymore. They are tearing me up. I am 43 years old, and I just never worked night shifts in my life until these past 3 years. But that's something I've learned about myself. I can't live, even though I'm clean, like I was using. Because that's when I used to be, like, nocturnal. Like, stay up all night, sleep for 3 days, be up for 7 days. I can't do that anymore. And, like, honestly, this is where I'm at. If my boss, and because my boss just decided to quit 2 days ago and I'm going to be having a new boss soon, if they won't give me all day shifts, I'm going to have to find another job. And because I am not right in the head when I'm, you know, sleeping like a lunatic. And it's really harmed my marriage, too. You know, recently, Justin and I, so we spent our first wedding anniversary over there. No, it's not really all. We were like, let's go to this retreat and let's not camp with people. Let's be cute and let's be away from everyone. We thought it was a great idea. And but you all just kept walking past and there was no privacy over there. And And, you know, since we've been married, you know, as I said, if we can do it, anyone can do it. We've been at different forks in a road where maybe we should separate have come up. And once we did separate, just recently, I would like to blame Justin for this, but I'm not going to, because when it, at the end of the day, it's about me. We are at another fork in the road of our marriage right now. And I just think it's no coincidence that we've decided to be here with you guys. Up there camping with friends, not on the side. Because I know for me to be a whole person, to be able to figure out the pros and cons of Sue, the defects and the not defective parts of me, I need help to do this. And I don't know. I feel like these past few years, you know, Scott said he can just cry at a whim. I feel like I've become like an ice queen. And that's just being honest right there. You know, I've had a lot of relationships here. Another thing I've been looking at is relationships. I really suck at being a friend. I really suck at being a friend. And I realized, just me getting honest, self-acceptance, because being a friend is too fucking painful sometimes. Since I've been here 14 years, we have lost a lot of friends, like dead lost friends. Now, I'm not talking like the deaths in my family, like I'm talking deaths in dogs. Like, you know, since I've gotten clean, my first husband has died, my mother-in-law has died, I have lost two pregnancies. Like, that kind of, well, the pregnancies are just a different thing, but the real death of, like, people dying of cancer and this, that, and another, that is final, and I get that. That's why I'm a nurse. But, like, death from addiction, it doesn't have to be like that. It really does. And I know it's a disease. But then there's this other loss we suffer here. This loss of, we get super, and Cheryl was talking about this last night, we get super close to people here and then they leave. They leave due to addiction, using addiction, other parts of our addiction, or just because we're done being here. I know that I as well have been like that, that I was done here for a while too, because one person said one fucked up thing to me at a meeting after I had my second miscarriage, that they understood what I was going through because they had an abortion. By the way, I say a lot of things, like I'm just a very honest person. And after that was said to me, I'm like, fuck this, I'm done. You have no idea what I'm going through, because that was a choice for you. This was not a choice for me. And that was 7 years ago, and I have been struggling with these feelings inside that, like, I just don't want to go to meetings and have someone else say something that fucking ridiculous to me. What I've realized through getting a dog, though, is I really like dogs better than children. I actually, like, you kids can stay over there. I like you, and you're cute to look at, but, like, I like that we can put you in a cage and leave for a couple of days. People frown upon that when you put kids in a cage, so, like, and I'm an aunt, and I really do believe, like, this is, like, getting to the bottom of me. I was born to be an aunt, because my brother and my sister-in-law have struggled financially. They have struggled with, you know, guiding these three girls that they have. And I believe that I was meant to be the aunt to help these kids out. And I've accepted that. I've accepted that I'm not going to be a mother of two-legged skin children. Was that last night's conversation? I was meant to have furry children, and that's fine by me. And another thing that I'm struggling with, that I've been struggling with these past, it's amazing for 7 years. How can I struggle with this stuff and not get to the root of it? And the reality is if you step away from sponsorship and if you step away from meetings, you will sit with the most basic, well, me. I have sat with the most basic things that have the most simple fucking answers because I'm unwilling to open my heart. I was reading the basic text last night. I was flipping through, and the answer was right there. Who was there when I was, like, screaming, all you gotta do is open a page and fucking read it? This man, back in the first, fifth edition, is that which one? It was the old fifth edition. The guy was in there talking about, because I am an atheist, I struggle with who to pray to. Once upon a time, about 7 years ago, I also committed deicide of my God. I believed in one thing my whole entire life, and I decided this just ain't working for me anymore. This is just not working for me. I do not believe in people dying and being put on crosses and coming back. And I'm not getting religious. I'm just telling my story here. I remember going out in the woods with Justin. I remember trying to speak to a higher power because I'm not comfortable with the term God anymore. I remember speaking. I remember hearing a voice because I always hear the answer when I ask. I remember it saying, "It's okay, Sue. You don't have to believe in anything." But I needed to replace that belief. I needed to replace that belief of a higher power. And I have, like, you guys are my higher power. Meetings are my higher power. But how do you have a higher power if you're not part of it? Nature is my higher power. Like, I believe all meetings, we should have fires going on and, like, this kind of stuff to speak at. It makes life just that much more comfortable for me. I'm an outdoor person. And, but what I've been real honest about with myself lately is that cloud floating higher power that I had once upon a time, like, it was much easier to pray to that one, you know, using a term, saying, you know, being able to be on my knees, that just means to be humble, or to, I remember Megan taught me, was trying to help me out, just laying back on a bed and just praying to what the fuck ever, and, but that didn't work for me either because it felt foreign. And I'm still struggling with that. Like, that's where I'm at. I'm struggling with how to pray to a higher power that I don't understand, which I know from sure I'm never going to understand. And there were some years here that, you know, one of my first higher powers was Jerry Garcia. Imagine that. And, like, he heard my fist step. And, and then I got mad at him, and then I cut him off from the, you know, higher powers of sorts. And I've just made right with him, honestly, these past 6 months, and because I just need something. Yes, I'm fucking crazy. But so I've been trying to do that weird praying thing that I don't understand, and like, my husband doesn't even know this, and I've been kind of praying to Jerry Garcia. And just because I need that, like, intangible higher power, like, you know, that person on the pedestal to pray to, because it just, something's not working. I'm not working. That's just the answer right there. And I need guidance, and I need I know for me to operate, to be able to accept myself, because I know when I got clean, I couldn't look in the mirror. I couldn't make eye contact with that person in the mirror because I hated that person. And then by working steps, being around sponsor, being around human beings, I was able to, and people would give me these tasks like, just stare in the mirror and say, "I love you." And just keep repeating, "I love you." And I did that. And I remember standing going, "Why the fuck am I doing this?" But what happened was, over the years, I grew to start to love myself again. I could look myself in the eye. I could look you in the eye when we had a conversation. And then something happened. This isn't even my 7-year sad tale. This is, I turned 40. Shit dropped. We got really gray. Muscular tone just went away. And I know people get addicted to working out, but, you know, that's just not my thing. And I don't ever see it being my thing. And, like, I'm a nurse. What's the difference between cops and nurses? Not much. We both eat lots of donuts. And, and I don't eat healthy. And so, like, I got into, like, self-loathing, for a better term, a couple years ago. And, like, I really hate the way I look. I really hate being 40-plus years old. And then it hit me. I was having a conversation with someone at work. Like, I get these light bulbs that happen all the time. And I can't even remember. This person was, like, 60 years old, and they were just, like, had it going on. And, like, you know, physically, like, they just didn't give a fuck about how they look. They were just embracing being 40 plus years old. And like, you know, I'm getting there. It's okay. And I just remember I got clean when I was 27, and now I'm 28. I don't know. Math again. Here we go. I need a calculator. But I know, and this is where the truth comes with self-acceptance with me in my recovery program. For me to accept you to come to meetings, I have to be able to accept me. And the only way that I can accept me is by having some form of a higher power that I can talk to. But right now it's kind of my sponsor, and that's great because she's fabulous. Her and her husband, my God, they have like really just saved me these past few years. I love that noise. But I don't know. I have to tell you, in my day, I've been to a lot of retreats. Not recently, but a lot of retreats. This retreat is the most friendliest. You guys are just wonderful. Thank you for putting this on. I've had so many people just come up and hug me and say, hey, I'm this person, I'm that person. And you have no idea how much that means to me. And thank you for allowing me to speak. That's all I have.